You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage Podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't tried out Built for the Stage yet, go to the website builtforthestage.com and you'll work one-on-one with your own online fitness coach so we can marry your career in theater with your pursuit of training like the actor-athlete that you are in the gym or at home or at the park or wherever you might be training at. All right. Thanks to Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out, bpn.fm. Let's bring on our special guest. As always, really excited to chat with Cherry Torres, who is currently on the Hamilton. I should have looked at this before. Are you on the Peggy tour?
Angelica.
Oh, the Angelica. On the Angelica tour, Cherry's currently in Greensboro, North Carolina, and she covers Eliza, Angelica, and Peggy. Welcome to the podcast, Cherry. Hey.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Thanks for working through technology and having this chat with me. I really appreciate it. Tell me a little bit about, you said before we hit record that Greensboro has been like quaint and a little change of pace. What's the vibe like in a setting like Greensboro in comparison to when you're sitting down at like a bigger city? Do you all kind of go stir crazy, or do you like find a nice park to just chill at? What do you prefer when you're on the road?
It's hard to know what I prefer. I think sometimes things come at the perfect timing. Houston, for example, was a bigger city, and it kind of came after a bunch of smaller bits, smaller sit downs. So it was kind of needed to have a hub of more familiar, you know, city-like places and cute spots to eat and stuff. Greensboro just kind of came at a time where I think, you know, spring is here and we can take walks and hikes. And I have my dog on the road. So being able to just take her to a park and run around helps me decompress and not feel like I'm stuck in the theater when I have like two show days and stuff like that. So yeah, we find the fun wherever it is in every city, I'll say.
What's your dog's name and what kind of dog is it?
So she is a Porky, is what they call them, a Pomeranian Yorkie. And I named her Ducky after Land Before Time because I am a true millennial. So
I love that. Oh, that makes me want to like do a throwback night and watch that movie.
Right? I very much did when I got her. I was like, no, I have to watch it.
That's funny, the whole Porky thing. My parents have Shih Poos, which are Shih Tzu poodles. Yep. So as far as silly combination names go, I'm right there with you. So that's funny.
Shih Poos.
How is that? I told you this would be very coffee shop chat. How is that on the road with a dog? What are the difficulties with that? Or is Ducky pretty chill?
Well, there are some challenges that come with it. So when I got Ducky, it was a pandemic puppy idea. And we got her when she was around June of last year. And then when we kicked back up in September, she was only 4 or 5 months. So, you know, she has been going through her little teenage boundary phase and all that good stuff. And that can be difficult, but it's still very rewarding. I think travel is probably the hardest bit. I just got a car, so that's facilitated a lot of my traveling with her. Because she's a pretty chill travel buddy, but just, you know, you end up having double the things because, you know, you have like not just all of your stuff that you travel with, but then you're like, okay, her beds, her toys, her treats, her food. And that can be exhausting. But now with a car, I'm a little bit more like, okay, let's go.
Right. You don't have to deal with the bus life, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or the plane life, which I was
sorry to interrupt. That was my next question is how do you work that out if you have a car and for instance, your flight is like basically your only means of traveling to that destination on time. Like, have you ever been in that spot? Like, how do you work that out?
Thankfully,
that make sense? What I mean by that?
Yeah.
Like, say you're in Greensboro.
Yeah, like it's like a super like long like drive, but like people just fly into it. And this last one was actually, I want to say, a 15-hour drive. Because we came from Fayetteville, Arkansas. But we're lucky in that usually if it's a really long drive for the truck, they add a dark day. So, for example, we had the 15-hour drive, but we had Tuesday off as well. And then they just doubled up the shows on Thursday. Mm. So it helped me break up the drive for like 2 days. And I always kind of get a travel buddy because I'm like, it's a brand new purchase. So I'm still kind of gauging my ability to drive really, really like long distances as well.
Right. Yeah, I have two dogs and I have to drive from Miami to New York City sometimes, or Miami to
Ohio. It's like a 20-hour drive, isn't it?
Ooh. You bet your bottom dollar it is. And I'm like the kind of person that if I'm not tired in the sense of I feel like I'm going to go to sleep, I'll just keep going. So
yeah,
I have been just making that 21-hour drive straight through. It's pretty, I know. Straight through.
Oh my gosh.
Lots of energy drinks, hashtag fitness podcast. Hello. and yeah, that's how I get by. But all right, let's get into a little bit more about tour life. If you're listening out there, you know, if you like dogs and road trips, then you've been amused. And if not, we're getting on to the theatrical talk here. So with the tour, what's it like doing a show like Hamilton in Fayetteville, Arkansas, compared to like, I don't know, somewhere in California? What are those audiences like, if they're different at all?
You can definitely feel the shifts depending on the cities. What's really kind of wonderful about being in the smaller cities is like, just the knowledge that a lot of people don't necessarily get to go to, you know, New York casually and pop in a Broadway show like the people in the surrounding areas of the city. So there is always this kind of buzz in the smaller towns and you feel the excitement, you know, to get to see like just live theater in a different setting. But you can feel sometimes depending on, you know, the areas of the country, certain jokes land better than others. And that's always interesting to hear. I'm like, are they going to laugh? Are they going to like, ooh, what's going to happen? Uh-huh. The best audience, I will say, the best audience ever are the Edgerham kids. No matter what, no matter like the day of the week, how tired they are in these morning shows, they are like active the entire time. You hear oohs and ahs throughout the entire show. It's hilarious. Say No to This is hilarious.
I love that. I also like listening to Hamilton mixtape when I'm working out. That's a little confession of mine. And
yes.
What is the one with Ja Rule and Ashanti? Which one do they do? Oh, it'll come back. It'll come back at the last.
I know, it's like tip of my tongue. I'm trying to go through the list.
Everyone listening right now that are like huge Ham fans are probably like screaming it at their cell phone right now. While
I know, they're like, really? You're in the show. How do you not know this?
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
It was more so
I put myself on the spot. But anyways, that's one of my favorite songs. Here we go. It's Helpless. That's the one.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So there's this cool. Are you a J-Lo fan? Do you love J-Lo?
I like J-Lo. Yeah, but, I listen to her.
But you're not like ride or die. Like you'll be mad at me if I say something a little bit bad about her.
No. Yeah. I'm cool with J-Lo. It's not my favorite.
For everyone listening, the backstory behind Helpless with Ja Rule and Ashanti is Lin-Manuel picked them like very specifically to do this song because it's very similar to the song that Ja Rule and J-Lo did in the maybe late 90s or early 2000s. I can't remember. But anyways, the story is that Ashanti was early in her career and she actually laid the demo. Do you know the story?
The vocals.
Yeah, do you know the story? No. She laid down the demo vocals for the song with, with the producing team.
Yeah.
And then later on, J-Lo comes in and like actually does the song, right? And Ashanti does sing some backup in the song. But the thing about it is that there are parts of the song that supposedly they used Ashanti's demo recording instead of J-Lo's voice. That's supposedly like what happened.
Wow.
And she wasn't like credited for any of that or whatever. So the story goes that like this was kind of a second chance for Ashanti and Ja Rule to do a song like this. So that's the story. Anyways,
it's
back to you.
Because a lot of their songs too sounded similar, like funny enough, in when they teach the show, there's a part in Helpless that we call the Ja Rule section.
Okay.
It's as long as I'm alive, Eliza, swear to God, you never feel so. Because it sounds literally like Ja Rule.
That
like
is definitely inspired by Ja Rule. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We call it the Ja Rule section.
Okay, a fun fact I did not know.
Yeah.
Any other, not to put you on the spot, any other like fun facts that that is a part of the show that maybe listeners would not know?
Let's see. So there's a lot of names for things for sure. Like Tetris. Tetris is what we call in Nonstop when the stair starts moving and everybody kind of starts piecing around it. We call that Tetris. I don't know. A lot of the fun facts of the show are kind of prop related as well. Like there are so many little areas for props that you'd never know. Something I always get asked about is in Hurricane, where does Peggy get the quill when she hands it to Hamilton? And she actually, I hide it as I'm going down on, you know, in the slow motion bit, I hide it in the dress. So you can't see it. So I use both of my hands. I come up and then I kind of grab it from my knee and then bring it back. So there's a few.
I wonder if there's been a production either on one of the tours or Broadway where it was forgotten and then she didn't have anything.
I will say there's been a few times where the letters in Helpless that Peggy kind of dances with didn't like fell off the candle cart. So it was like a what do we do now moment. And she's just like dancing by herself. And then, you know, Angelica can't grab the letters. So then we're just like, if you really love me, you would share them. And those moments are so funny because it's interesting to see like everybody thinking on their feet, but slightly differently. Like some people's instinct is to just like mime it. Some people are just like, acting, you know? Oh man, those are the funniest.
All right, you have the classic Poisonous Shoe West Side Story myth or legend where Chino forgot to bring out the gun, so he couldn't shoot Tony. So he took his shoe off and threw it at Tony. And
I did not know that. That's amazing.
This is a legend. Maybe it's totally false, but I've heard this story a lot and I like to believe it's true.
I hope it's true. He just said, well, I can only kill you with this.
Just throw this poisonous shoe at you or whatever the story was. With you being a cover, how has it been tour-wise? Like you getting a lot of action. How's that navigating three different roles? What's that experience been like for you?
It definitely ebbs and flows. So I started off as Swing Woman 5, who essentially covers Woman 5 and the Three Sisters. And because ensemble members get scheduled swing-ons, I could essentially be on a lot more, even if I was on as Woman 5 more. Whereas now it ebbs and flows kind of depending on you know, you never know, everything from like vacations, personal days and everything. But it's been pretty nicely consistent. It hasn't been too much and I haven't gone months without doing it. It did take me a second to debut. I think I was one of the last people to make their re-debut after the pandemic, which was hard because, you know, you're like, yay, come on. I want to go on. I want to, get to perform after a few years. And when I did, it was just like so cathartic and awesome. But it's been great. I feel like I've gotten a good reps on every one of the sisters. So
yeah. What do you have to do to kind of knock the dust off before going on? What are a couple of your rituals as a pro that maybe someone listening could learn from your kind of prep work that you do?
Well, something I like to do in general, at least like, I want to say five times a week is just sing through the show. I'll sing through all the sister songs. And when I do kind of, I am scheduled to go on, I will speed through the show just for my brain, just to like have a little, you know, and that could be a 15-minute speed through just to make sure that I have everything. But no matter what, I like to sing through the songs at least once before I go on, which is, you know, easier sometimes than others. Because if I have like a mid-show swing on, then it's just like go and you know, if I need to like run to a dressing room to belt something out really quick and then come back in, then I do that.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of tips and tricks, you also coach and teach students of your own. Tell me a little bit about that. I'm interested to hear just what kind of coaching you do and if it's virtually or in person or
Well, that started off during the pandemic. I was curious to do so. You know, I had a lot of imposter syndrome, but I really just kind of wanted to share because towards the end of the pandemic, I got to go to my own high school and do like a workshop with them. And that was kind of so impactful that I was like, I want to be able to share what I do know to, you know, students and really anybody who would like to hear the knowledge. And I started teaching basically vocal coaching and acting coaching, essentially. So oftentimes, I like to call it audition coaching because my students come with a, you know, a 16 cut, 32 cut, you know, song. Bar cut, and we will work through it. We'll do warm-ups depending on their needs. I'll do a warm-up catering to what they're hoping to achieve. And it's been really lovely and rewarding. I've been able to keep up with it, on tour, which has been a nice, just to be able to focus on something other than work, you know, because when you're on tour, we are in a bubble where we're, you know, a lot of our time and the people we are around and everything kind of has to do with work. So it's nice to do something outside of Hamilton that feels rewarding in a different way. It's been really wonderful.
Cool. And if someone like wanted to inquire, would they go to your website, cherrytours.com?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Please go to my website. It is cherrytours.com. And from there, there is a questionnaire where you can basically answer your needs, your interests in terms of what kind of musical theater do you like. It's a fun little quiz. And then you'll get in touch with me.
Nice. I saw you were originally born in Puerto Rico. Yes.
Yes. Born and raised till I was like 11.
Okay. And then when did you start learning about performance, or how did that kind of come about in your life when you were getting started?
Well, I grew up in a really musical family. My dad is a sound engineer and my mom's a background singer. So even though theater kind of came later in my life, performing came really, really young. My mom would take me to the recording studio when she was doing jingles, and you know, I would be in there and the performance rehearsals or like sitting backstage, you know, I was a backstage baby to some extent. And then when I discovered theater in my eighth grade school, I was like, oh, this is what I want. I'm like, you mean you can act and you can sing and you can dance? And then watching West Side Story kind of sealed it all together. And here I am.
Yeah. Were your parents supportive of that, or were they like, oh, we know what this life is all about, why don't you go do something else?
They were really, really supportive, actually. I think they saw me have an interest. At like 6 years old, I remember answering in one of those, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be an astronaut and I want to be a singer. So I feel like they knew early on where my heart was leaning. My brother was a little bit different because he was he leaned towards academics and sports a little bit more. So they were like, yeah, lean into that. That's great. You don't want to go through what we go through. But I think he's going to end up being a musician too, which is kind of hilarious.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, yeah. Like we talked about before hitting record, my dog Thor now decided he wants to eat. So he's over here eating some food. Everyone listening, Cherry and I were just sharing how, when we need moments of silence, that is when our dogs decide to make noise and, and do things.
Every time we're on screen.
Can you wait, big boy? Can you wait? I want to go back for our last little moment of our chat so far. Thank you so much again for your time. Something like truly inspirational that you had said that I think a lot of our listeners can learn from is that you mentioned that imposter syndrome before starting to do your teachings during the pandemic and how you were inspired and given these feelings of like, oh, I would like to continue to do this after doing that workshop at your, I think you said high school, right? Your high school, you did a workshop. Yeah. So I just saw this quote and it was an amazing quote. And it's saying like, while you're waiting to do something that you're really good at perfectly, someone out there has already started and is extremely mediocre at it. I just butchered it. I'm paraphrasing, but basically saying all of the people with the talent to do it might be waiting because they want perfection. And then the people that are maybe less talented at you at this certain thing than you are already out there doing it. So anyone listening that is maybe kicking around wanting to get started in something, just get started. That's what it's all about.
It's so true. Yeah. It's so true. They say that the people who succeed are never the most talented. They're the ones who persevere.
Yeah.
And keep working hard for what they want and are willing to learn because there's no such thing as perfection, which as creatives, right, that are kind of taught to compare ourselves, we're often kind of like stuck. Our creativity gets stuck in this like tunnel of like, we can't let it out because it's not where I want it to be.
Yeah.
Instead of just being open to making the mistake if you do, and then it's better than it was before. So,
yep, absolutely. All right, Cherry, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate the chat. I hope everyone enjoyed. I enjoyed that little moment, the Tetris moment, a lot of little, golden pieces in this interview. So I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, truly.
Absolutely. Everyone, if you want to follow Cherry on Instagram, go to @CherryTorres. You can see that in the description of this episode. And also check out her website if you're interested in coaching with her, CherryTorres.com. I'm Joe Roscoe at Built for the Stage. You can check us out at Built for the Stage on any social media or our website, BuiltForTheStage.com. Later.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.